Amen.
Certainly we've enjoyed the song service so far, and from songs coming from Brother William Prowl and the very fine prayer by Brother Gary Davis, and the scriptures read by Brother Gervais. We are thankful to God to be back here tonight, and certainly we had a very uplifting lesson from Brother Thomas Snow this morning. Amen. He challenged each and every one of us to show Christ this week as we meet someone. And of course, you won't go very far. You'll meet a homeless person. And if you just show Christ to them, sometimes we, and I understand it gets frustrating, but the lesson that Brother Snow taught this morning, we should look for someone that we can help, someone that we can show Christ through us to them. And I hope you will try to meet his challenge this week, and I encourage you to do the same. Tonight we have our very own Brother Larry Reese, who will be bringing our message to us. Brother Reese come to us from the big city of Tullahoma, Tennessee. I heard a man ask me one time, said, "Do you know why they named this town Tullahoma?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, years ago when the settlers were here and the Indians were still here," that's an Indian name. And there was an Indian man, Indian had a daughter named Tullah. And he came to town, and this young guy was talking to Tullah, and he turned around and said, "Tullahoma." So that's just a old folklore, but that's the way he told me the name came about. Brother Reese is a come to us. He had attended Middle Tennessee State University with a degree in criminal justice. And for 32 years, he has been in law enforcement. He is presently attending the Nashville School of Preaching. Brother Reese worked for the Vanderbilt Police Department. He is a detective. A lot of you didn't know that. But Brother Reese is a detective for the Vanderbilt Police Department. But most of all, he's a Christian man. And we all know him, and I'm going to do is present him. I don't have to introduce him to most of 99% of this audience. Brother Reese also speak when we go to the jail on first Sunday nights to the latest jail, Davidson County Jail. And I've heard Brother Reese speak, and he does a very good job. And I want to present to you our very own Larry Reese.
I'm just a pilgrim passing through this dark of sorrow and pain, but trouble have I found. Oh Lord, I need thy light, guide me aright, for I am bearing a cross to win a crown. Bearing the cross, O Lord, bearing a crown, bearing a cross to win a crown. In heaven above to guide me aright, for I am bearing a cross to win a crown.
Church, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you might be strengthened with might by his inner spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend amongst all the saints just what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we all might be filled with the fullness of God. I just want to take this opportunity to thank the leaders of this congregation and also Brother Jones for allowing me this opportunity that we might be able to just stand together and be able to share this engrafted word that we know, if it's taken into our souls, will be able to save us in the last day. I am very, very impressed and thankful that God has blessed me to be able to be a part of this Hart Street congregation. You all are a very unique group of saints. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. I can attest to that. Each and every time that we come through the door and we look at some of those that have been challenged by many of the obstacles that befall us sometime in life, be it medically, be it career, be it within family, but we've seen a testament of your effectual, fervent prayer upon many of the members of this congregation. When I look back and I see Brother Lamont, or if I look over and I see Sister Sheila, or if I look back and I see Sister Janice, are there so many others that have just been blessed by your prayers? Or even our own beloved Brother Jones, we know the obstacles in which he had to endure. And church, I want you to know that this is only a testament of your faith and of your prayer and your consistency in your love for one another. And I must have to tell you that even for me, you have been a beacon of spiritualness for me and my family. I don't know if you recall, but it was just probably less than a month ago that, no, it was back in November, that I came to you in regards to just issues that I was having at work. I was dealing with some unethical practices. I was dealing with just some crazy supervisors. I was dealing with the situation to the point that I'd already started to go to other states and do interviews. And I ask for prayers on your behalf. I ask for you to strengthen me and help me be able to deal with these issues. And I must tell you that within a very short period of time, there was a significant change at work. Christ saw it to be appropriate to change my supervisor. And on the 4th of this month, he saw fit to make me, to give me a promotion. And so church, I know this is a direct result of you. I know this is a direct result of the prayer that we have for one another. And so I just hope, church, and pray that you keep on with the diligence. I want to just give a shout out to all the teachers and the instructors at Vineyard and working this Vineyard back in this classroom. I want you to realize that do not go weary in what you do. I know at times that when you do this month in and month out, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, it can become painstaking to you. But please do not lose heart. I think each and every one of us under the sound of my voice, if we stop to think just for a moment, the people that have impacted our lives are the people that we remember. We might remember some coaches, or we might remember one or two of our teachers from elementary school or high school, whatever it may be. But I think almost to a person, we will all remember each and every Sunday school teacher that instructed us. And young people, I will tell you, when you are in those classrooms, do not take that time for granted. Sit there, study that word. Let that word absorb into your heart, into your soul, into your psyche. It will give you a foundation that will be with you for the rest of your life. I have to share a story with you real quick, and we'll go on into the lesson, because I think it's one thing that an instructor told me at one time. He said, it is our task as ministers to preach to the congregation about eternity, but not speak for an eternity. So I won't be here very long, but I do want to let you know that as a young man, one time I had a job that I was looking for, young people, and I was really hoping to have an opportunity to make money as a grown man. And we went to the interview, and when I went in, I noticed some older people that were there, people that I knew were more established. It was at a publishing company in my hometown. And I remember later getting a call and going back and sitting down and talking with the owner, Mr. Simon. And he told me, he said, Larry, I'm going to give you an opportunity. And he said, the reason I'm giving you an opportunity is because something I saw a long time ago. And he said, I realized then that I might be able to do a little something with you. And I didn't understand at the time what he meant. And I said, sir, he said, no, I know I can work with you. And he went on to explain to me that when I worked at a little small service station, and some of you old school people remember what I'm getting ready to talk about, we had at that time in the school, before the school system lost their mind, we were able to actually be able to have verses in the morning, the Pledge of Allegiance. There was a thing called Sedan Bible Camp, I believe, where we had people that came around. Young people, it was a pride to have this Bible along with your other books. When you went to school, when you walked down the hall, it was a pride to have a Bible with your name on it that you were able to receive because you recited scripture, you knew the scripture, you studied the scripture. I'm sharing this to you because he said, I saw you sitting on a little box with a testament in your hand and you were studying. And he said, I knew then I can do something with a kid like that. And so I'm telling you today that you are never, ever, ever aware of the impact that your spirituality may make on other people, But not only that, but on yourself, because it is our job to do what? Work out our own soul salvation. And so, church, I'm saying to you, especially as young men, guys, when you're out there, do the best you can to make the best impression possible. And trust me, you never know that that person you walk across, they're not interested in seeing the size of your fruit of balloons. Trust me. So pull it up, straighten it up, tighten it up, all right? Because that impression that you leave will be indelible, and it may one day make an impact on you being able to get promoted, to get a job, or be able to do what you need to do. I also just want to touch base and say blessings to those that are involved in the Bible Bowl. Continue to be steadfast in that study. Now, even though there is a reward, I think it's kind of a competition that there's a reward that will be given at the end, but all we ask of you is just to do your very best. That is all we can ask. That is all you can do. That is all the good Lord expects of you. But what the real reward is that spiritual foundation that you're going to gain from that knowledge by absorbing the Word of God. There is nothing there. You can't put a price on that. So continue to study. Study to show thyself approved. You will grow. I can't think of the word. Humongous. It will grow. So we are proud of you. Our prayers will be for you. And we hope, trust, and pray that if anything that you can do, that you would let the church know, let the leaders know, because we're totally supportive of this, because I know it takes additional time, additional effort, and we thank you. As I mentioned, as it relates to the prayers for my family, my sister Anna, who all you have prayed for, and again, I'm very thankful because, once again, your grace is abound. She has recently been released from the hospital. She is in a convalescent center. But each and every day, the gradual growth of improvement, you can see it. It's sustaining itself each and every day, and I'm so thankful for you for that. I have five sisters and no brothers, and I know you say bless your heart, and that's true. They're all sweet, but they're all, my three older sisters are having to deal with the issues of a bone degenerative disease. This disease is one that I think we received from my grandmother on my mother's side. And this lesson today comes from something that I experienced while working with her, and then after going through some things recently with Anna, I realized that my Granny Berry, she had a fall like a lot of elderly people do, and she broke her hip, and she was unable to really move around, and so we moved into the house with her so we could take care of her, our family did. And one of my main functions was to, in the morning, come in, get her out of bed, and try to do that as gingerly as possible, and place her in a chair where we could change the bedding or take her to the bathroom. And church, I want you to know, as the days and the weeks progressed, her health deteriorated, and there'd be some days that I would be in there hearing her sing the song, one of her favorite songs, is number 9 in our supplemental books, Oh, I Want to See Him. And I would be talking to Granny Berry, and we would just a lot of times talk about the day, and I'd ask her how it was going, and she would tell me it was a good day, but not the best day, but I'm going to be okay. And then some days she would tell me that I'm just really looking forward to going home. And I would tell her, Granny Berry, you're already home. And she would look at me and say, baby. And sometimes she'd stroke my face and just look at me and smile, and she'd say, bye and bye. And being young school at the time, I didn't know what that meant. Being old school today, I knew she knew that one day you will get to what I'm saying. You will get that understanding of what I'm feeling. But the thing that never, never, never deviated from this woman's life is her ability, if she could be in this church, she was in the church. I would hear her on the phone calling people and asking what she could do. And I would later see people in the store, and they said, man, your Granny Berry called me, and she said, and I'm thinking, what can I do for Miss Gladys? She's calling about what I can do for you. And what I realized with her is that each and every time we talked, I could see that she was homesick for the place that she's never seen. And that homesickness grew, but it grew by her works and what she did in the church. It grew by how she associated herself. It grew by how she watched over us when we were in church. I mean, even when she was just in her frailness, I was surprised at how far she could reach to pinch me whenever I got a little out of whack. And I'm like, baby, you don't supposed to be able to do that because you're not doing well. But she could find that way. It's like elastic arm mom. And there's nothing better in life than a good big mama, a good Granny Berry, somebody just to keep you in check. But church, I'm sharing with you today a lesson whereby that I want us to all become homesick for a place that we've never seen. Let us become homesick for a place that we've never seen. And what does it mean to be homesick? Well, Webster defines it as a longing, or a longing to have an earnest desire, or an earnest desire or yearning for something. Now, the desire is something that's very pleasing unto God. As God said, but without faith it is impossible to please God. And for him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not just seek him on Mother's Day, not just seek him on Easter Sunday, not just seek him on Christmas, but they must diligently seek him. Diligence, according to Webster, is a constant, careful effort, persevering, hard work. You know, this Christian life that we travel, this road that we walk down, is a tough one. And there will be some that are going to try very hard but not be rewarded. You know, Matthew 7:13 tells us what? For broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but narrow is the way that leadeth to life. But what I want us to do is place in our heart today that we are so homesick for this place in which we've not seen, that in the latter days we're going to be one of those in that narrow way, and that we're going to be able to stand there and say that we are the few, but we are the proud, and that we are the saved. Church, the yearning is also described as to be deeply moved. To be moved means that there is an action taking place. There's an action, there's a reaction. And it's not just in the heart, but it's also in the spirit. And that's what Christ wants. James 3:26 says, for as a body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is dead also. So even though we think about the term homesickness, and we see it as possibly something that has negative connotations, there's also a very positive side to this. It allows us to know that we are not currently in the optimum place in which God wants us to be. It also fosters the action that we might be able to get where we need to go. And it also lets us know that in our hearts, daily, we need to yearn for something better by doing what we need to do to live better, and thus we make this world in which we live in a better place. Now, you may say to yourself that, what is this place? What is this that you're talking about? Well, the place is described in John 14 when Christ said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house is what? Put one with your name on it, church. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be there also. That scripture tells me, church, that he is not wanting us to be in that broad way. He is wanting us to be in that narrow way. He is wanting us to have in our hearts that homesickness for that place we've never seen. But we're going to study some more about that. This place in which that we said that we have never seen or never come across. If you would, let's go over to Revelations. And so the 21st chapter, we're just going to take a glimpse at some of the things in which are expressed about this place that we've never seen. 21 and 18 says, and the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, if I said that correctly, and the fourth was emerald. And it goes on and on to describe all these beautiful things that are in this place that we've never seen. But the most touching and compelling thing that I see and look forward to is back in the fourth verse where it says, God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Church, I don't know about you, but that is a place that I will yearn for. That is a place that I'm going to place in my heart and become homesick for, and allow that homesickness to elevate me to a point that I'm going to do everything I possibly can to be able to join on that trip to the city of Zion. Amen. We will find at that time that it is definitely a place of comfort, of refuge, of exhorting, and of above all love. And what are some of the reasons to be homesick for this place? Well, the beauty of it is that you'll be able to meet and visit and converse with all the great servants of God who have also received that award. Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be able to walk up and talk to some of the apostles, to be able to talk to some of those that have served in the battlefield and have conquered and overcome. You will be reunited with all those that you have helped to rescue from the clutches of the sins of the fire of hell. They will be able to show their expression of thanks to you for leading them to the Savior. And then most of all, you'll be able to spend eternity rejoicing God, extended in his saving mercy, and that the fact that he forgave you for your sins and your shortcomings. And then throughout the endless ages, you'll be involved in eternal bliss with him. You'll join the Redeemer and be able to sing the praises to the Father on the throne and also to the Lamb who died for your sins. You know, I think that at that time we will have the ability to stand in that city and be able to have that answer to the greatest spiritual equation of known to man. And that is, my friend, that one cross plus three nails equaled forgiven. Each and every one of us, the price had been paid. So you ask the question, why is it important to try to live for this home each and every day when we are always confronted with various trials and tribulations and sickness and death and pain and suffering and dealing with crazy marriages and unfaithful spouses and low-down bosses and thieving business owners? You take your car in, somebody's always trying to rip you off. Every turn that you come to, you feel that society is just basically going to hell in a handbasket. And you ask yourself, why do I even want to, you know, what is it all for? Well, I want you to understand, church, that one of the reasons that we have the trials and tribulations on this earth is because God does not want us to be comfortable with this earth. He wants us to know that there is another place for us to be. You know, I'm here to tell you that if we had roses every day, butter and honey every day, no bills to deal with, no pain, we'd act a fool. Let's just be straight up right. We would act a pure fool. But what he wants us to do is to be able to understand that there is another place for us to go. He wants us to be able to see that sometimes in adversity, it allows the grace to be shown to other people. One of the stories that I've come across with my sister is in her home congregation, there was a member that had become just, I guess, a little disjointed with some of the things in the church. But he had a sincere love for my sister. And the story was shared with me that he actually came back because he wanted not only to get right, but he wanted to make sure his prayers were answered on her behalf. Church, ain't God good? You had a situation of adversity that brought back somebody that, for the most part, really wasn't thinking about it. It is funny how sometimes that will happen. I think if you look in your book in page 63, there's a song there that says, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Now, Joseph Shriver is an Irish-born person. He was born in 1819, and that song was pinned to paper shortly after he was with his fiancée. They were at a place getting ready to be married the next day, and she drowned the day before the wedding. The church, I want you to know that for a person to be able to sit down and put pen to paper and write an eloquent song such as "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," lets you know what the power of God is when it comes to adversity in our lives. What we have to be able to do is understand that when we have these adversities, to use them, to allow them to strengthen us, to allow them to edify us, to allow them to bring us together. That's one thing that I do love about this church, and I failed to mention earlier, visitors, that if you are here, we want you to know you are honored guests, and we will recognize you later on in the service. But one thing that you will see about this congregation here at Hart Street, we're not perfect. We have some dysfunctionality from time to time. But what you will see is that when we have that we work through it, we pray through it, we love through it. And it's something that is a formula for always having a successful unity within the church. And so I hope and trust and pray that you enjoy your visit here today and that you will find some things that will bring you back. Well, we move on in the lesson here. 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us that the Lord's eyes are going to and fro, and it will show himself strong to them whose heart is perfect toward him. It is very, very, very important for us to understand that the things of this life are only temporal. You know, come March the 28th, we're going to be celebrating the 48th year of the large Alaska earthquake. Now, for a lot of us young people, it's like, what? But that was one of the most catastrophic events in American history. But what it showed was you had a place that at that time was very picturesque, was developing to be one of those vacation spots where you could go and fish and lodge and do all these wonderful things. But just in a twinkling of an eye, the entire area of Anchorage was destroyed. Church, I want you to understand that is one of the reasons why we have to have in our heart a homesickness for this place we've never seen. Because I don't mind telling you that that place will never be destroyed. It is the duty of the saints for us to help each other on this path. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens. And if we are children, he is the high priest that will provide for our needs." Hebrews 4:15-16. Now, let us just take a look, if you don't mind. Let's go over to Luke 15, and we'll take a real quick look at just a few things as it relates to the prodigal son. Luke 15, beginning with the 11th verse. Of course, it says, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided them unto his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when it is all spent, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be of want." Church, that's one of those examples where I was speaking of, we have to remember that these things, heaven and earth, will pass away. But we know that Christ's word will stand forever. And so we know by two immutable things that God cannot tell us a lie. And so if we are righteous and live faithful unto death, the home in which we are placing in our heart will be there for us. What we need to see here is that he went and joined himself to the citizens of the country, and he went and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that were swine did not eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" It's amazing how that sometimes it takes us getting to a point of homesickness, of knowing that there's something someplace else that's far better than where I'm at, that there's something that if I go and just be obedient, I can have. There's something that if I can go and just do what I need to do, I can have more than I can ever ask for. We see this in the story of the prodigal son. He took what he was given to him, but he wasted it, and then he realized that what I really have at my fingertips, if I'm just obedient to the Father, is over here. And just as this parable goes on to show is that his Father took him back as Christ would take us back if we happen to fall by the wayside. Church, we need to be like Abraham in Hebrews 11:10, when he went to look for a city that had a foundation whose builder was God. You know, they say with the 2012 event, and who knows, according to the Aztec or the Mayan calendar, that sometime in December around the 21st and the alignments of the planets, it's supposed to be all this catastrophic stuff. But what I do know is that recently Japan had one of the largest earthquakes, one of the largest volcano eruptions they've had in some time. And so we do know there's something physical, as far as nature is concerned, that's starting to change upon this earth. But what I want to do is not be in a house where the foundation has been made by man. I want to be on that ship of Zion where I know that the home I'm going to is a foundation that was laid by God. You know, it has been said that Noah was a poor preacher in terms of the fact that he preached for 120 years and he only saved, what, 8 souls? But I think in that, we have to look at the fact that he did save his house. And so I'm just sharing that to say, church, as we start together on this trip to be able to be on that ship to that city of Zion, let's start in our house. Let's continue to edify and grow one another. Let us continue to be able to get those that are around us, that are close to us, that we love on that ship to Zion. That's one of the things that we have to do. Church, I don't mind telling you that I want to be in that latter day in the presence of the light of God. I want to be able to walk daily and just be in the presence of just the omnipotence of his grace. And the only way that we actually can do that is to be diligent, as we mentioned before. To have that yearning, as we mentioned before. to put these things into practice as we talked about before. Matthew 6:19, don't lay up yourself treasures upon this earth. You know, it is very, very, very important to realize that if you are not homesick for the place that you've never seen, but you are homesick for the things of this earth, verse 21 tells us that where your treasures are, there your heart is also. So we hope, trust, and pray that you understand that heaven and earth will pass away. We want you to be prepared, church. We want you to have an opportunity to be on that ship to Zion. Today is the appropriate day of salvation. I'm sorry, come on in. Church, imagine just for a minute if at that time Christ was coming through the door. Would you be in a position at this time to be on that ship to Zion? If not, if you are a member of the body of Christ and fallen by the wayside, he will take you back. He just asks that you repent of your sins and ask the prayers of the church and you will be restored. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you have not punched that ticket to that city of Zion, you have heard the gospel. Believe it. Repent of your sins, confess your faults, and be buried with him in this watery grave of baptism. Arise a new creature in Christ and punch that ticket to that city of Zion. If you would do so, as we together stand and sing, and if you don't want to come forward, just remain standing when we're seated, and we'll come to you as we stand and sing the selected song.
Come today, Jesus, come today, come today, come to Jesus, come today, come today.